Wow. Some of you may remember, I never saw the movie myself, but I knew quite a bit about it because it fits into the sermon this morning. How many of you saw the movie City Slickers? Well, we have some people who saw that movie. A group of city friends decided it was time to take a special vacation. And so they did. The main character in this movie was a guy by the name of Mitch. He had lots of problems. His finances were a wreck. His marriage was on the brink of being over. He just had all kinds of problems. These friends chose to go on a cattle drive out west. These city boys had never done anything like that, and so they decided it was time. An old cowhand, kind of grumpy, by the name of Curly, was their guide. Mitch was drawn to Curly, and he began to share all of his woes, problems, and concerns about life. Curly listened for a while, and he finally said, "Do you know what the secret of life really is?" Well, Mitch said, "No, I really don't." So the old cowboy said, "Hold up one finger. That's what I want you to do. Hold up one finger. And look at that finger and say, this is the answer to everything." Okay, you can put your finger down. We'll be back to that one finger. The old cowboy said, "I tell you what, if you hold up one finger and concentrate on what that one finger means, everything will take care of itself." Well, Mitch said, "What does that one finger mean? You aren't trying to tell me that just putting up one finger will take care of all my problems?" "Yeah, it will." "Well, what does that one finger mean?" And Mitch said, "I have no idea." And the old cowboy said, "That's right. You've got to figure out what that one finger means. And if you figure that one out, all of your problems will take care of themselves." So on this Father's Day, I'm not going to give you a lesson on what it is to be a father. You can find that in the Word of God. But I do want you to understand that this one thing, if you understand what this one thing is, your problems will take care of themselves. And that's something that Mitch needed to learn, and it's something that we need to learn in this day and age. Because there's plenty going on. There's 50 riots across the United States against President Trump. There's all kinds of issues. I don't know if you watched the 250-year celebration of the United States Army yesterday, but every kid here should have seen that. And if they haven't, I'm sure that they'll repeat it sometime. And every parent and every young person ought to see what that's all about. So Curly said to Mitch, "Just remember the one thing." And of course, Mitch didn't know what in the world to do with that because He had no idea what the one thing meant. And that's what we're going to do this morning. Find out what that one thing is all about. This one thing I do, the Apostle Paul said, from Philippians, the third chapter, verses 12 through 14. This one thing I do, isn't that interesting? Paul understood what it was to hold up a finger and say, this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. And we're beginning to see and understand what that one thing is. That one thing is Jesus. And if you will hold up Jesus that as that one thing, all your issues will take care of themselves. It may take a while, but they will take care of themselves. None of what Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. And we need to have some pretty good forgetters, because as we look back on life, we can find out that there's been some discrepancies, that there's been some problems, that there's been some failures. But the important thing is that we understand what that one finger means. That one finger means our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. It means what the Lord wants us to do. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I press on toward the goal. Make one thing the most important thing in your life, and that's Jesus Christ, the living Son of God. This is the third sermon that I've preached along these lines. The first one had to do with the leprosy. What happened to this woman? How terrible she looked? What sin had done to her? And Jesus had compassion on her. And if he had compassion on this leper, he can have compassion on you. He can have compassion on me. That one thing is Jesus Christ. And that's what we need. There's a lot of things that we could get into, all kinds of things in the scripture. But the important thing is the one thing. The old cowboy was right. Figure out what the one thing means and you'll be okay. All things will work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purposes. And then the second message that I preached was the woman caught in adultery. Oh boy, the scribes, Pharisees, the religious leaders were real excited about that. We finally have something that we can use to exonerate everything that we believe about Jesus Christ. No, not really. But they thought they had something. And instead of condemning this woman, Jesus wrote in the sand, you remember. And all of a sudden they began to disappear. From the oldest to the youngest. The oldest had lived long enough to know that they had made some terrible mistakes. And so they began to disappear. And all of a sudden, there was nobody there to condemn her. And Jesus said, aren't there somebody here? Aren't some of the guys here who wanted to throw stones at you and take your life? Yes, but they're all gone, Lord. And the Lord said, I don't condemn you either. And praise the Lord for that. So, in the process, A young man came to Jesus wanting to know what it took for him to inherit eternal life. As Jesus started on his way, a man came up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "The one is good. There's no one good except God. God alone." That could take a couple of sermons right there. "You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." "Oh, teacher," he declared, "all these I have done since I was a boy." Well, I tell you what, you can't keep the Ten Commandments without messing up somewhere along the line. And he says, "Yeah, I've done this since I was a boy." He didn't quite understand all that. From the scripture, we know a few things about this man. We know that he ran to Jesus. He fell on his knees. And he said, "Lord, what must I do?" I mean, he claims he kept the commandments. He claimed that he was a moral man. He claimed all of that. And yet, there was an emptiness in him. His heart was not right with the Lord. He kept the law. He lived a moral life. But there was something that was really missing in him, and that was Jesus Christ. That one thing, that one finger, Jesus Christ. And if you have Jesus Christ, all the rest of these issues will take care of themselves. But he didn't understand that. And I think that most of us don't understand that. We do a lot of things. We try to keep the commandments. We try to live for the Lord. We understand the grace of God. And yet, our hearts are crying out, "Lord, I need something more. I'm not satisfied. I need something that will give me eternal life." Well, there's only one way to get eternal life, and that's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Perhaps some of you are here today, and you have been going to church for a bazillion years, but still you feel like there's something missing. The only thing that is missing is Jesus Christ. We can work in the church. We can give money to the church. We can do all kinds of things in the church. We can sing in the church. We can be on the tech team, on the praise team. But still, there can be a hole in our soul. Because the only thing that fills that hole is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus is trying to get across to this young man. You've got to have more than activity. And we are stressed out with activity. We go here and we go there. We take our children to everything, hoping that, I guess, if they are good enough, they'll get some kind of a position later on in life. I seriously doubt it. We ourselves get caught up in what we're doing. We go here, we go there. We attend this, we attend that. But we forget the most important thing. The one way. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. Without him, we are in trouble. Jesus is the one thing that all of us need. Jesus looked at him and loved him in spite of the fact that he didn't do well, Mitch. Everything in his life was about to fall apart. His whole life was shambles. Jesus looked at this man and loved him like he loved the woman caught in adultery, like he loved the leper. And so he loved this man who had all of these problems and was willing to share them with Mitch. Jesus looked into the very heart of this man. He knew that even though the man had kept God's law, or said that he had, that he trusted the Lord. And then the Lord said, well, I'm going to tell you what to do. Sell everything that you have, everything, and give it to the poor, and come and follow me. Oh. What did he do? He broke down. He couldn't do that. And so he left. Unlike some people in the past, like one missionary, Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor inherited a lot of money. In those days, what he inherited was really a lot of money. Here's what Hudson Taylor decided to do. He decided that the Lord had called him to China to be a missionary. But he thought if he went with all this money, he would not be able to relate to the Chinese people. And so he gave it all away. All the money that he inherited, which was thousands upon thousands of dollars, he gave every penny away and shaved his head like a Chinese person, wore the clothes of a Chinese person, and went to China without a penny and expected the Lord to provide for him according to God's grace and mercy. And he did. Hudson Taylor became a tremendous missionary in China, and many people were brought to the Lord. I am the one thing, Hudson Taylor understood, that I need. I need Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a personal question. Do you understand that Jesus looks at you, sees you, knows everything about you, and still loves you? Amen. In spite of our faults, in spite of our shortcomings, in spite of the various sins that we have committed, he looks at us and he says, I love you. Jesus sees the heart. Jesus was not interested in the man's money. That's why he said, sell it all. I don't have much, but what I do have, I'd be happy to sell. If anybody wants to buy something, come and get it. We'll give it to you. I am tired of trying to get rid of stuff. I just as soon give it away. Jesus deeply desires that we put him first. Who? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Amen? Boy, that's an easy thing to quote. It's not so easy to get done. That is what Jesus wants of all of us. An abundant life here and now, and a wonderful life in glory. There was a man who had heard a great deal about the Apostle Paul. And so he wanted to go and visit Paul in prison. So he found Timothy, and he asked Timothy to make arrangements for him to go to the Roman prison and visit the Apostle Paul. Wow. That's what he did. He went in and he visited the Apostle Paul, and he was not expecting what he found. He found an old man, a really old man, and his hair was white. His voice was not terribly strong, but they visited for a couple of hours. When he was finished, he went to Timothy and he said, "Timothy, what gives this older man, this Apostle Paul, such serenity and magnetism? What is there about him?" And Timothy said, "Paul dearly loves Jesus Christ." And the man looked bewildered. He said, "That's all?" "Yeah." Timothy smiled and replied, "Sir, that is everything. Can we identify with that? Loving the Lord Jesus Christ is everything. Amen. If we don't do that, we've missed the whole thing." And so, dads, what are your eyes focused on? What would your kids say is number one in your life? You might be afraid to have us ask those kids that. Do your kids see you reading the Word of God? Do they hear from you Bible stories? Leading them in prayer? Teaching them how Jesus wants them to live? Do they see you demonstrating the grace and the love of God because you have Jesus Christ first in your life? And you're satisfied with that. No matter what you do, no matter what your vocation is, the important thing is to have Jesus Christ first in your life. So we have a wonderful lesson here. The one thing is Jesus Christ. Hold up your one finger. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. That's what we need to remember. Whenever you're in doubt about anything, just hold up that finger and say, "I love the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves me. He's going to take care of what is in my life." If we were sitting with Jesus today, what do you think he would personally say to you and to me? Would he say something like he said to Martha? "Martha, you are so concerned with so many things, but you missed the real point." And we can do that in this life. I tell you what, I hate moving. I hate every aspect of it. You're going to get a lot more to take care of, Wyatt, because I'm sick of it. I really don't like it at all. But that's okay. I want to keep Jesus Christ first in my life, and that's what's important. Make Jesus number one in your life, in your marriage, in your finances, in your fathering, in your work, in everything that you do. Make Jesus Christ number one. And all the rest of this crud we get involved in won't seem so bad. We'll pretty soon be over it. Don't stay in one place 17 years and then move. It isn't fun. So, if you have this number one, you'll be okay. And you dads, you need to put that in your heart, in your mind. Jesus Christ is number one. And make him number one in everything you say, everything you do. I know the impossibility of that. I do. But I tell you what, that's really the answer. And that's what this old, that's what these people found out. Jesus Christ, number one in everything we do and say. Our invitation hymn this morning, Jesus is the answer. Couldn't be a better invitation hymn. Jesus really and truly is the answer. We have a world that's going crazy, a world that is trying to say we don't need a president like President Trump. We have a world that is doing everything they can to destroy anything and everything. But Jesus is really the answer to everything. And if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things will be added unto us. So the invitation today is, if you haven't figured out what number one is, please come forward and we'll see what we can do to help you with that.